Okay, economy and financial markets. We're going to start with story number one, the going direct reset. As you know, I see, let's go back. Remember when you and I were talking about the fact that the Harvard Endowment had taken its endowment dark and was
Yes.
firing most of their internal staff? And you and I, it was, I think, the 2017 annual rep, and you and I looked at each other and said, oh, this is really bad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so Harvard went dark, and then FASB 56 in October 18 took the federal government dark, and we said, uh-oh, this is really bad. And then the next August 2019, they voted for the going direct reset. And when you look at the flow of events, what you realize is financial coup has reached a point where you literally have to reset. Right. But they took everything dark first, and that gives them incredible wiggle room. I mean, it just gives them incredible
It gives them
liquidity.
it gives them incredible liquidity. It gives them incredible opportunities for fraud. And I think the third phase, as you've pointed out, is the introduction of central bank digital currency.
Right.
This is the final stage of taking everything dark, putting themselves behind the one-way mirror, as you've said,
Right.
where they can literally do anything.
Right.
And I have a blog coming up tomorrow on central bank digital currency because people are starting to wake up about what it really means. Because one of the articles I referenced points out that video of Carstens that you've mentioned
Right.
many times,
Right.
talking about programmable central bank digital currency. Well, programmable for certain purchases that they can prohibit you from making,
Right.
but programmable also means that they can program the value of their so-called digital currency on a case-to-case individual basis.
Right.
So that's not a currency.
Right. No,
As
it's a
you've
control
pointed out,
system.
it's a
It's
control
a
system.
control system. It's a credit at the company store, but
Right.
you better behave.
Yeah,
The
you
Bank
better
of England
behave.
announced this week that they're working on a crypto that the person who transfers it to you can determine what you can and cannot spend it on. So I can pay you, but you can only use that money to buy Bill Gates's synthetic meat.
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, it was interesting because, there's been so much popular interest in the World Economic Forum, and I keep telling everybody that's not the reset. The reset is the going direct. It's what the central bankers are doing. And so finally, one of the great people here in Europe asked me to get John Titus to write a summary, a short 2 to 4 page summary that they could give to the legislators, because they're trying to explain to the legislators this is what's really going on. So I said, okay. So he wrote a 2 to 4 page, and they translated it into German, Italian, Spanish, and French. And they're running around Europe saying this is what's really going on. Now, helped by the fact that Christine Lagarde, made a speech 2 weeks ago and said, everyone on the whole planet must be vaccinated. And you're thinking, why is this the purview of the European Central Bank?
Exactly.
So going direct, the Jackson Hole meeting. So we the central G7 central bankers meet every year at Jackson Hole in August. So they met again this year, and Powell gave a speech. And there are two things. If you kind of look at the group that had gathered there are two things I want to highlight as to what's happened and what was very clear to them by the time they gathered again this year, and that is, the disaster capitalism on small business has destroyed millions and millions and millions of farms and businesses around the world. It's extraordinary, the destruction. So, I remember looking at the statistic, 40% of the small businesses in San Francisco gone.
Plus, you've got all those cargo ships now piled up off of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and so on. They're deliberately trying to take down supply chains.
That's absolutely what it looks like. But the other thing is, the private equity guys have had a field day, because while you're shutting down the small guys, you're pouring cash into the private equity firms, and they're, you know, they're on a global sweepstakes buying everybody. I keep likening it to that old TV show where you give five housewives a, you know, a shopping cart, and everything they grab in 5 minutes they get to keep.
Yep. That's exactly what's going on.
Right.
Yep.
So one of the things that has, and we'll talk about it more when we get to space next week. One of the things that's happened is SPACs. I don't know if you've heard of SPACs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More than half, I'm looking at the statistics. I've got them someplace here. More than half of the IPOs, I think last year or this year to date, I'll have it when we get to SPACs, have been blind pools. Yeah, so let me look at the numbers. Okay, 59% of the IPOs coming for 2021, when this chart was done, are blind pools.
Unreal.
Well, what that means is it's either coming from the Fed's $3.5 trillion that they're putting out, or it's coming from FASB 56.
Right.
I mean, whether it's the central bank or the Treasury, you know, investors are not that stupid unless the pension funds are just being told you'll invest in this or you'll be fired.
Right.
You know, so, right. I mean, so we're talking, and what is happening, it's really interesting. I just looked at a company called Redwire. So the SPAC goes public, huge amounts of money. The space company merges with the publicly traded SPAC, and they change the name to Redwire, which means the space company has managed to go public without having to go through the SEC or disclosure process.
Oh, jeez.
So this is how all the
isn't
space
that
companies...
convenient?
Yes. Isn't that amazing? So all the space companies are going public without having to go through the disclosure process.
Unreal.
It's unreal. Amazing. It's amazing. Now, hold that thought. One of my favorite videos that John Titus did, he went apeshit in 2012 when the, do you remember the HSBC decision when they essentially said HSBC under the BIS rules has immunity from prosecution?
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay. So the bankers are above the law. Okay, so the space companies don't have to do disclosure. The federal government doesn't have to do disclosure. The big international banks don't have to obey the law. Mm-hmm. But are you ready for this? The SEC, and my favorite one, when FASB 56 went through the approval process, they sent it to all the agencies and said, what do you think of, you know, the government being able to run secret books? So HUD said, oh, this is great. We need this, which raises the question, why does a domestic housing agency need secret books?
Yeah, it raises that question for sure. But, and I think you probably have a few things to say about that.
Well, I don't know if you know it. HUD is empty. I keep getting emails. People are sending me photographs. The building's locked up and empty. Everybody's working from home, and they're clearly, you know, we'll talk about when we get to geopolitics. What's that about? But anyway, so you have the FASB 56 going around through the sort of clearance process. HUD says, oh, we definitely need this. This is great. You know what the SEC says in charge of all the securities market for the U.S., all the U.S. securities market. And of course, the federal government and the Treasury are the biggest issuers of securities, and their defense contractors and banks. But, you know, that's a huge percentage of the market. You know what the SEC said? No comment. No comment. But are you ready for this? The SEC this quarter stopped Coinbase from lending crypto. Coinbase wanted to start a lending program, and there are another couple of companies that had started paying interest on deposits. So, you know, they can't afford, the monopoly cannot afford that kind of leakage, right? So what does the SEC do? They don't care that the U.S. government and all their securities have no disclosure or keeping secret books. That's not a problem. They don't care that all the space companies are going public without going through the disclosure process.
Not a problem.
They don't care that there is an effort to destroy every small business in the country using criminal means. That's not a problem.
Not a problem.
But it is a problem if the crypto guys lend crypto.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem. Anyway, but you can see the guys, it's Coinbase, probably with steam coming out of their ears. And that's because I don't think they realize how bad it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. one of the great, this I have to ask you, you know, every year we have a couple of pieces that come out of the establishment that explain how inequality occurs by accident. But maybe what we've get-
this is like a bad Hollywood B movie, Catherine. I mean, it's comical if it wasn't so serious. I mean, casinos are more above board than this. I mean, come on.
Anyway, but maybe if you could say a few words, given what is happening in the Going Direct reset, as to what is driving inequality, whether it's, well, this guy has to obey the law and this guy doesn't. This guy can print money. This guy has to earn money while this guy's free to use the government to shut his business down.
Well, it's a system that eventually has to collapse. I mean, you can't run an economy this way. With everything black, where's the trust? That's the problem. Go ahead.
The way you offset the trust is you just keep printing money.
Printing or putting it on computer blips. This is what bothers me. They're doing all of this, and now they want us to trust them to run a central bank digital currency, a cashless society. I'm sorry. No, I'm not buying those stocks. Thank you very much. No.
So it was really funny. There was this wonderful researcher. I don't know if you saw it. You probably did. In the Netherlands, a woman who decided to dig into all the stock proxies of all the companies involved in the Going Direct reset. So Microsoft, Amazon, blah, 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 blah. And what she realized is the lead investors in every one of them, you know, in the SEC filings, it's required to publish anybody who owns more than a certain percentage, usually 5% of the stock. So she realized, BlackRock and Vanguard, which are the two largest index managers, have the lead position in every company in the Great Reset.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're looking at unbelievable central control.
No, yeah, no monopoly or cartels there. No.
Anyway, one of the things, you're right, we just published a big thing on CBDC. One of the things, though, I stress to people is before you worry about CBDC, worry about the passports.
Yes.
So we got Corey Lynn to do a four-part series on the passports, and it was amazing. She's an amazing researcher, and she kept saying, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. But once you get the control you get through the passports, then it's easy to get the CBDCs,
yes,
I think.
Yeah.
So what I keep telling everybody, don't worry about the CBDs, stop the passports. Mm-hmm. And the pushback against the passports is incredible.
I think people are waking up to the fact that those things are just simply a control mechanism. And at this stage, my impression is some, not all, are beginning to connect the whole COVID plan scandemic to the whole financial order that they're trying to bring in.
Right.
That's a crucial step here. And I'm surprised that there are people waking up to that. There need to be a lot more, in my opinion, but at least some are.
Well, you know what's happened that's really good? We started, thanks to Mary Holland's idea. We had it in a meeting a couple months ago, and she came up with this idea, let's do Cash Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because she said, what can we do? I said, because the COVID has increased the amount of transactions that are going digitally. Mm-hmm. I said, we've got to reverse that.
Right.
We've got to take it back to cash.
Right.
And so we started Cash Friday, and it is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. It's just going, going, going.
Yeah, it needs to go, and it needs to keep going. I just did another blog for this coming Tuesday. About an article that someone sent me about the banks around the world that are having severe denial of service attacks. So, for example, in Venezuela, they've been without service for about a week, 16 million
people. Wow.
And this is worldwide, Catherine. There's something going on with attacks on banks and people not being able to get cash out of the ATMs.
And you know, we've had huge denial of service attacks over the last week. Mm-hmm, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one way to look at it is someone trying to send us a message about digital currencies. Because if a bank is vulnerable to denial of service attack, what does that do for your digital currency? If you can't even transact in it,
right?
If they're getting hit with denial of service attacks, so the way I'm thinking about it is, if this is what can happen simply with ATMs and so on, just imagine the same scenario,
right,
in a cashless digital currency world. Everything stops.
Right.
Everything stops. And this is not a way to run an economy at all for anybody. It's
right. So the people in New Orleans who just went for 10 days with no right. power, the people in Kentucky right. a couple of years ago went through, I think it was 3 weeks, about 10 years ago they went. So imagine yeah. what that would be like.
Well, this is happening in Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Great Britain. I mean, it's worldwide. And when you total it all up, this is millions of people that are not able to access any sort of funding. And that, you know, it's in addition to drawing cash out of ATMs, it's their debit cards, their credit cards. You know, this is bad.
Right.
This is bad.
Right. So my big concern is that certainly on the Fed side, what the Fed's going to want to do is, other than the very big member banks, their big shareholders, they're going to try and wipe out all the, you know, all the regional and small banks mm-hmm. and replace them with government banks. So mm-hmm. for a decade, Alan Brown and I have been fighting, and I've been saying government banks are a terrible idea, mm-hmm. unless you do the, you know, like this, the North Dakota bank.
Right.
If you do a state bank that supports the local banks and makes them more efficient, that's
right.
great.
Right.
If you put a government bank next door, it's gonna wipe out all the local community banks. And there's, you know, there goes your last vestiges of financial freedom right there.
Yeah.
So my only concern is they're doing something to make life difficult for the banks that we want to keep around.
Oh, I wouldn't be as surprised if you see the Federal Reserve itself start accepting customer deposits and things like that, because they've got to if they're going to bring out a digital central bank currency.
Yeah, but they don't want to do the tech support. They don't want to do the customer service. So that's the point of starting a government bank. That's that's basically your customer fulfillment operation.
They could do that very easily, I think. I think they could.
Okay,
it's something to be concerned about.
So this one, I was reading this book about, you know, the dumbing down of science
mm-hmm.
and thinking about this dumbing down phenomena. And then I saw the latest articles about insider trading by the Fed presidents and governors.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what are they thinking?
Uh-huh.
What
They're
are they
not.
Thinking?
They're not. I honestly, Catherine, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think they have surrounded themselves for so long with people of like minds that they're not capable of seeing the insanity of what they're doing.
Well, but here's the thing. For the first time since I left the establishment, I am seeing I'm seeing a migration of major talent out of the establishment who is seeing absolutely what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing all the laws broken. They're seeing all the immunity to, you know, from prosecution. They're seeing all the theft and they're mm-hmm. seeing all the harm that it's causing. And they're, you know, these are people who have the ability to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I look, if you look at sort of the latest story of the Fed vice chairman and his trading before Powell came out in February and saved the markets. You know, I thought, you know, your kids and family have to walk down the streets.
Uh-huh.
Why do uh-huh. you feel safe?
That's an interesting observation, because what's beginning to happen is certain politicians can't go anywhere without having eggs thrown at them and so on and so forth. We've watched President Asterisk Bidenenko getting booed, you know, wherever he goes and shows up.
Right.
I think it's a matter of time before people realize that these are not the only people responsible for this mess. I think it's a matter of time before you start seeing the Karstens and the Lagarins and so on and so forth showing up to places and getting booed. I really do.
Right.
I really do. It's a matter of time.
The dots are getting connected. And
the dots are getting connected. People are connecting the dots. And that's good, because what it tells me is they're also not relying on the lamestream propertainment media,
right,
which presents stories in isolation. If you go to the to the alternative media, you know, Solari being an example, you're connecting dots. You're saying COVID is related to this, is related to that, and so on and so forth. And people are starting to think in those terms.
The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, I keep coming back to the missing money, because ending in 2015, now I can't, you know, we have another $96 trillion of adjustments, but we don't know how much is undocumentable and how much is documentable.
Right.
And of course the Department of Defense won't say.
Right.
So, but the other day, I think I sent it to you, Rob Kirby kept sending me the new count on the skyrocketing Fed positions in the repo market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a trillion, $2 trillion. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what's really going on. But one of the things I'm wondering, if all the fraudulent and off-balance treasuries that have issued, and some of the on-balance, are just coming back, and they need to float, you know, the banks or hedge funds owning them, because nobody wants them.
That could be, because we've discussed in this connection, and I see you have the question here under the missing money, how important was Afghanistan to, and Middle East Army operations to cashing them, or to ashing the missing money after 9/11 and the financial crisis. I think they're very important.
Right.
Because I think that if you look at Afghanistan and the central bank there, I think there's enough evidence to suggest that that was one big money laundering operation going on.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Julian Assange in 2011?
No.
He made a big thing. He said Afghanistan is just where the G7, you know, he implied it was more than the U.S., that it was really, I don't remember if he said G7, but basically the Western nations are using Afghanistan to wash the money.
Yes. Yes.
I can believe that. Right.
And the reason I think that is we were told that the previous president of Afghanistan made it out of there with a lot of money, and that Afghanistan's central bank's reserves were mostly being held by the New York Fed.
Right.
And I thought, well, there you are. You know, they're laundering all sorts of money. And at this stage, Catherine, in thinking about the connection of all of this to geopolitics, I just saw today before we started that the Chinese have already established a military presence at Bagram Air Base.
Really?
Yeah. So part of me is thinking, was this just a big scam to suck China into Afghanistan and do to them what they did to the Soviet Union when they invaded Afghanistan? I don't know. But with the Taliban in charge, sooner or later, there's going to be a confrontation between the Chinese and the Taliban.
Right.
And that may spill over, you know, into the Uyghur problem that the Chinese have in that province of China that's heavily Muslim. I don't know. But this whole thing begins to look fishy to me. And they've basically just wrapped up a money laundering operation and transferred it elsewhere and sucked the Chinese into the maelstrom.
Well, that's the question. Where did it go?
Yeah. I don't know. But given the fact that there was, I think, $1.5 billion or something like that in reserves that are being held supposedly by the New York Federal Reserve. But again, we don't know. Everything's black.
Well, but here's the thing, and we'll talk about this in story number two, but if you look at the changes they're making between FASB 56 and what the Fed is doing with the Great Reset, you know, essentially they're bringing down the electorate side of the House, mm-hmm. the Democratic side of the House, which means they can do anything they want with the federal credit mechanism, and they don't need to be right. bothered washing things through Afghanistan. Right. They can just do whatever they want. Right. And I was really struck. I told you I was looking the other day at when Moderna, the sort of the corporate history of Moderna, and they went public in November 2018, a month after FASB 56, mm-hmm. and raised gobs of money from a couple of sovereign wealth funds. And I couldn't figure out one logical reason why they would put a dime in. And I'm just wondering if it wasn't the Clinton Foundation game, you know, in the stock market.
That could be. You know, right. I think there's a direct relationship between FASB 56 and the Afghanistan debacle.
Absolutely.
And getting, you know, you don't need that machinery with FASB 56.
Well, you need what you need to do is you need the poppy fields to move. So
Well, they did that.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll talk about that. And so you need the poppy fields to move. You still need the resources, which is why I believe, you know, we're looking at the Taliban as the face, but I think they're corporate mercenaries there protecting the, you know, our interests in those resources.
That could
unless,
be too.
You know, they could be using the Chinese to protect those resources.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. My suspicion is that they've done this to get to suck China into a difficult situation. China's in a difficult situation to begin with.
Right.
And it's, in my opinion, it's very fragile. But this may be the coup de grace. You know, we'll have to look and watch things carefully down the line to see how the geopolitical financial aspect of this all plays out. But right now, I entertain the suspicion that this was a move designed to suck China in there and create conflict that they can't ultimately resolve. But
well, you know, I don't know if you saw it. Iran is accusing Israel of covert warfare.
Yes.
And in fact, that looks very, you know, that could blow up into a real mess.
Yes, it could.
Yeah.
Yes, it could.
Yep. So more on geopolitics. I just want to close on the going direct reset. You know, as we said in the going direct reset, this is not a turndown. This is a takedown.
Yes.
I'm sick of hearing people say, oh, it's going to collapse. I said, what do you mean it's going to?
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, can we get into the present tense? And number two is there's a difference between, you know, a collapse and a takedown.
Yeah. Think of it like a $1 trillion plus game of three card Monte.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the system has so much fraud in it that they're, you know, they're just moving shells around and you, right. you have to guess what cup the ball's under, you know, and they've already palmed the ball, you know. So.
Well, here's the question. You know, if you look at what Kirby's pointing out in the repo market, it's, you know, I look at it and I think, could they possibly keep this together? Now they always have been able to, and I think they can again. You know, but I worry about what extreme scenarios have to occur mm-hmm. to keep this paper floating. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
all it would take is for any of the major powers that have any intelligence network capable of doing it and that don't have much of an investment in the Great Reset to expose the whole thing.
Right.
And
well, I don't know. I think it was Belarus. It was one of the Eastern European countries. Mm-hmm. The president came out and said the IMF just tried to and the World Bank just tried to buy me over $950 billion of SDRs. It was $950 million. I don't know, but it's a large amount of money for them.
Yep.
And I told him to go jump in a lake because they basically wanted me to shut down the economy. Now, what that means yep. is when they come in and have you shut down the economy, it means all the private companies can come in and buy everything cheap.
Yep.
You know, so the private companies get a shopping spree engineered by the IMF and World Bank. There's an old transcript we have from Greg Palast explaining how this game yep. worked, you know, because they were doing it in 2000, you know, down sure. in Latin America, and he wrote it all up and explained it. Anyway, DOD canceled the Jedi contract. I think they're starting again. They got sick of going to court, and I assume they're starting again. But Jedi is still a little bit up in the air, which is a good sign. Anyway, the central bankers have the bit in their mouth, and they're off and running and doing the going direct reset. And I really encourage, we have some new subscribers this quarter, and I really encourage, if you don't understand how the going direct reset works, go to Solari. We have a summary that John did, 2 to 4 pages. You know, this is what is rocking our world. And we, if I have one, you know, hope for this discussion, Joseph, it's that people can see, you know, they can connect all the dots and they can see why this is driving the train. Mm-hmm. You know, they're building a financial trap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
They are herding everybody into a financial trap with the vaccine passports, with the CBDC, with, you know, universal basic income and just a variety of different complete financial controls. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether you saw this. I think I spoke with you about it. I had tried to sign up for an ACH service and it took 4 weeks, and I had to read 4 different terms and conditions that turned out to be 150 pages in tiny type. And they kept saying, oh, just click that term and condition. That's not important. You don't need to read that. And I'd say, no, I do need to read that. And then 35 pages and a week later. Anyway, but it turned out if I had approved it, I would be giving authority to the Bank of Omaha to come into my account if they deemed me to be in violation of any law around the world and take whatever they wanted and deemed appropriate from my account without any court order or any documentation or evidence and keep it for 6 months.
Unreal.
Anyway, so unreal. I said, no, thank you. Cancel the account. We're not. And this was just to use an ACH service.
I can believe it.
It was nuts. Anyway, so then we got a month ago, we got an announcement from PayPal. They now reserve the right to charge a $2,500 minimum fee if they believe that your content is in violation of their acceptable use standards, which, of course, includes anything that government says.
Right.
Right. So if the government says the sky is green and I say it's blue, you know, it looks a little bit open-ended. And we launched something called Cash and Coin. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging our subscribers to pay with cash or pay. Literally, we made a deal with a Hickory Valley grocery store. If somebody wants to drive to Hickory Valley, they can pull into the Hickory Valley grocery store and leave their payment with a Hickory Valley grocery store. But you can pay with coins. You can pay with wire and, you know, electronic funds transfer. You can pay with check. You know, we have all these different ways of doing it. It's called Cash and Coin. And we're trying to slowly migrate to a much more resilient base, because I think all of these financial payment systems are going to come with more and more control, whether it's from the private guys or the government.
Yep. That's the reason why it's so important not just to use cash, but start building networks like that.
Yes.
Where you can use cash, coin, or whatever, or even good old fashioned checks, and do your transactions analog, not digital.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of subscribers have written me and said, you know, I've talked to the small businesses, so I'm getting these discounts.
Yep.
Yeah, nice discounts.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, so another reason. Okay, going direct reset. Anything else on your side?
No, I'm good.
Okay, that's story number one.